problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
Beach, rock, park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSafety.com.
Hey, it's Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to the Homie Broadcast.
Yeah.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, on RadioSaintPete.com or podcast at HMBRadio.com. That's right, folks. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. Did you survive Halloween? Was it some freaking a-hole kid, I'm sure, or it could be just somebody who doesn't like me, freaking egged my dang truck? You know, part of me is like, God dang it. What the heck? That's so rude and uncalled for. And then part of me goes, wow, thank God that there are some kids who are actually still kids out there and do stupid stuff. We used to do stupid stuff all the time. It's fun. And I'm glad that somebody out there, but around here in this town of St. Petersburg, Florida, where I reside, I wouldn't be surprised if it's just somebody, some dude, 30-year-old dude, who thinks it's fun to be a kid. And if that's the case, I will kill you if I find you. You're dead. Do you understand me? Okay? Anyhow, welcome back to the show, folks. We got a good show. If I may be so bold, we got John Jacobs is going to be calling in here momentarily. He got in a fight with a couple of Times reporters over his coverage, his Tampa News Force, which is a new thing he's starting. TampaNewsForce.com. You can check out the website. And he went around and he just kind of sees what's going on around Tampa where he lives. And the big story was the Seminole Heights killer. So he went to check out, you know, Seminole Heights and see how people were feeling. He interviewed people, mostly homeless folks around the area because they were out at 3 a.m. because they don't have a home. You know, sorry, but that's what happened. So he went and talked to those people and somehow Tony Marrero, or I think it was Howard Altman, the military reporter for the Times, found his tweet, which I don't know how they found it because he doesn't use hashtags, but they found his tweet and then were kind of giving him the biz about it, busting his chops, I guess. I don't really know what the exchange, it's hard to follow that stuff on Twitter. You know, I know they have like, you know, it builds down and replies and stuff like, but it gets to be so long and I'm like, I'm not going to go back and read this all. So he's going to call in and tell us what happened and what his plans are for these fellas here in the near future. You know, it's obviously, in my opinion, kind of a gag, but it's real, right? He's really talking to these people about an issue, and so he's putting his own unique spin on it. I don't understand what the big deal is. I think these mainstream dudes are so threatened about the internet and the potential reach that, you know, people like me and John and, you know, people who are doing our own things potentially have, and it scares them because it may put them out of a job here in the very near future. And they're, you know, old. No offense, guys, but you're probably, you know, in your late 50s, even in your 50s, late 40s. You don't know how to do this stuff. It's really easy, though. You should learn. But you're not going to because you don't want to. And you're going to get left in the wayside by people like John and I who are doing our own thing. So I think that's really what it is. I think they're threatened by it. But and by the way, you know, I'd love to talk to those guys. So, you know, Tony and Howard, if you're by chance hear this and you'd like to talk and tell your side, I would love to talk to you and hear your side of the story, because I'm only getting John's side, and John is a comedian, so, you know, take that for what it's worth. So he's going to be calling here in here any minute now. But first, before you do that, let's say thank you to our sponsors here. My favorite businesses in the world, okay? And not just because they sponsor this podcast. I really do. These people are actually friends of mine, and I believe in what they do. So very first, let's say thank you to Tap House 61. Tap House 61 on Facebook and on the internet, online. Check out the website, taphouse61.com. A new tap house dedicated to the only the finest craft beers, best atmosphere, beautiful new remodel job, and good folks that hang out there. So make sure you go visit them, 2061 Central Avenue, right here in St. Petersburg. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook and all that. Tap House, the number 6, the number 1, and go in for a beer. You will not regret it. It's a good time. And True V Salon and Spa, Chrissy Parker, doing hair, nails, whatever she feels like. All right, brother? So check her out, 8908 4th Street North here in St. Petersburg. But just go to the website, you know, True V, T-R-U-V as in Victor, Y, Salon and Spa. Really long website. Was True V not? I wonder if True V is available, Chris. You should just get truvy.com. It's probably taken. But, you know, that would be easier. Shorter the better for websites. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, she does really good work. She's the only one who touches my hair. So check her out. True V Salon and Spa. T-R-U-V is in Victor. Y, Salon and Spa.com. You can make an appointment right on the website. Get your hair did. Make yourself beautiful. When you look good, you feel good. And that's really all that matters. I wanted. There's so much that happened this week. I just don't have time to get to it all, which is good. Because the less work I have to do, the better. But to keep up with this website here, make sure you, and this podcast, I mean, make sure you check out the website, hmbhotelmikebravoradio.com. Got the contact info there. I'm going to start putting up more blogs, doing some writings and stuff like that, so you can check that out on the blog news section. You know, listen to old podcasts. We got it all, baby. We got it all. And follow us on Facebook, HMB Radio on Facebook, home_made_man on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us there. And follow Radio St. Pete. Check out RadioSt.Pete.com. Check out TampaBayPodcast.com, a wide variety of local programming here in Tampa Bay. We got the Rowdies guys doing their show, the Unused Substitutes. We got the Indie Circuit. We got Frank Rivera's Jazz Show. There's so much Marco Radio Show. There's so much local programming that thousands and thousands of hours on RadioSt.Pete.com in the archive, and follow Radio St. Pete. Just Radio St. Pete, RadioSt.Pete on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. They got it all, so make sure you like it. And any comments or concerns, give me a call, 813-693-2124, or tweet me home_made_man. And if you missed that, just go to hmbradio.com. Check out the contact section. You can leave a text at that number. You can leave a voicemail. I won't answer, so you don't have to worry about speaking to me. If you want to make fun of how I read aloud, I got a lot of guff about my reading out loud from a couple of friends of mine. But they enjoyed it. It made them laugh, which is really all I care about at the end of the day. So I guess I said Hillsborough County because I'm a mumble mouth ass sometimes, especially when I have to read. I can barely read as it is, and then reading out loud, forget it. So I've been trying to get some more, you know, articles and stuff and news happenings around town if I got some time to kill on this thing. But, yeah, so Call me, text me, 813-693-2124. Visit hmbradio.com. Check out the contact page if you miss anything. I still got stickers. Happy to send you some. Email me thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. Leave me your address. I'll send you out some stickers. Oh, John is calling in. Oh, my God. Let's talk to John. You can tell us about his escapade with the Tampa Bay Times dudes. All right, I got John Jacobs on the line here. John.
Hey.
Hey, bro.
Oh, sorry about that. I should have let you talk before I jump in.
That's okay. No, no problem. So I wanted to, you're not in St. Pete, so I'm not going to make you drive all the way down here for this. But
okay, sure.
You had an interesting run-in with the Tampa Bay Times this week. Tony Marrero, staff writer, and Howard Altman, the military reporter for the Times.
Yes, military reporters coming after me.
What the heck?
Attacking me.
What the heck happened?
Nowhere. Unprovoked. I put out a nice, simple video covering what's going on in my neighborhood because I happen to live close to the area where the Seminole Heights killer's been striking. So we run an organization called Tampa News Force, and we happen to cover any news that's going on. So this just happened to be something going on in our neighborhood, so we covered it. We talked to whoever was walking up and down Nebraska or around Taco Bus.
Lots of homeless.
Because that's, you know, yeah, that's kind of an area where stuff's been going on.
Right.
And, there was nothing wrong. And then out of nowhere, this guy Howard just is taking cheap shots at me saying, you know, this was a bad journalism story and I didn't do good on it.
I don't understand what the qualm is with this, though.
I don't understand either. I think these guys are threatened because they see that a couple new guys have moved in and they're doing news right. So they're getting worried. They're going, uh-oh, this guy's taking all our viewers away because he's really putting the truth out there. And I didn't think it would be this quickly that the mainstream media would come down to attack me. But I guess, you know, it just took a few stories before they realized there's a new king of journalism in the city.
So obviously Tampa News Force is not a legit publication on the news. It's a spoof, right? I mean, they're not claiming to be real, right?
It is real news.
You are claiming, so maybe that's the qualm there. Maybe that's.
I mean, you tell me what's fake about it.
I mean, nothing's fake about it. I guess maybe you're taking it and you're just taking it to the streets and talking to the people and maybe trying to do it in a humorous way.
Just because I happen to talk to people a little bit differently than normal reporters doesn't mean it's not real journalism. Just because I happen to speak a certain way, that doesn't make it not real news. These are all real interviews. Nothing's staged here. These are all real people. So I don't see what part of it is not real news.
That's fair enough. And also, I don't understand, like, I wonder if they feel the same way about maybe, like, The Daily Show or something. Are they mad at The Daily
Show?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think the problem they had with me seemed like because it was a story about people, you know, there's a murder and an ongoing investigation. They think me making a story about it is taking it lightly, but I'd say the exact opposite because driving around at 3 a.m. trying to see what people think about it seems pretty dedicated and serious. So I don't see how that's taking it lightly at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people just can't accept the way some people are. And they just have to bash people for no reason.
Well,
they're weak.
I will tell you that you have more guts than probably any reporter on the Times that I've seen. I don't see anybody taking it to the streets at 3 a.m. and going around and seeing what the deal is when there's a killer on the loose. You could have been a victim.
Exactly. We're putting ourselves in danger directly because we're trying to get a good story. Hey, I mean, I think about it all the time. The guy might be looking himself up on the news every day. He sees our YouTube video. He wants to kill me now. He's going to find out where I live and kill me.
Yeah.
I got to worry about that because I'm basically taunting a killer by going out in the streets searching for him.
So I was trying to follow along on the Twitter. First of all, I'm wondering how they even found it because you don't use hashtags, which was annoying.
No.
You need to use hashtags. You understand that, right?
I don't know. I'm sure.
You should. Okay.
Yeah,
so
I forget.
They probably found it through me because I had retweeted it and hashtagged it.
Yeah, I thought that too. Maybe Willie got them on board.
But so Tony's I was trying to follow along here. So how did it – who reached out first to you during
the guy Howard reached out first. Because he was a tough guy, I guess.
What did he say?
He was the one who was like, you know, you shouldn't have made a story about a murder. You know, that's bad.
What?
And I was like, screw you. You know, I'm doing the news. Sorry if you don't, you know, have the balls to come out in these streets and actually do it. But, so I guess he, that hurt his feelings, so he had to get his buddy to come double-team me, gang up on me. Just defenseless, independent journalist who's done nothing wrong but try to report the news.
Well, they kept
They
kept saying it's your right to do so, but it's not something that's I forget what they say. It's your right, but it's not couth. Like, you shouldn't have done it. But
they're
I don't understand.
It's detrimental. They're saying people who are actually going to be seeking the truth will, be upset at my content or not. You know,
seeking the truth. Believe. Well, you were actually talking to friggin' hobos out on the street.
That's what I was telling them. And I mean, you know, either they get it or they don't get it. And it's just a bunch of sad stuff going on. You know, we should be supporting each other in the journalism community. Especially, you know, when it comes to serious stuff like that. Because, you know, you might not like my reporting, but hey, maybe somebody who doesn't know this exists sees my video, goes, oh, now I'm conscious that there's a murder at large in my city. Maybe I'll be a little more careful. So I might have saved people's lives. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I gotta be honest with you. It's bugging me that you're trying to act like you're a real news team.
Well, it's bugging me that you're trying to act like we're not.
I mean, it is at least as legitimate as The Daily Show. I'll give it to you.
Exactly.
I think it's a great idea. Your Tampa News Force, it's a great idea. I think you should do a podcast. I think you should expand
upon it.
Yeah,
but that's the problem. I don't like when Daily Shows say stuff like, you know, it's all a joke. We're not real news, because it is real news. And it is influential. There's real interviews. I don't know why they got to pretend they're not as legitimate as Fox News or CNN, you know?
Well, Daily Show is not. I mean, come on. They openly admit that they edit interviews to make people look stupid.
Well,
you're not doing that. It's,
that's
so,
like a reality TV show.
So, and I guess, like, you're not doing that. You're just talking to hobos on the street and giving them change. You're doing a good deed.
I'd say it's all, you know, it's news like a reality TV show. It's all real stuff happening, but so, maybe it's edited in a certain way to make it more enjoyable to watch.
So did anything come of that since from Tony or Howard? Did you get any comment from them?
Well, there's some stuff in the works being developed right now that I can't really talk about.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe some ambush journalism of some kind?
Whoa, I would not say that. I would say nothing like that.
Okay, I see. So,
may be something coming.
But there was the end of the exchange. There's been no more conversation.
Yeah, no more tweets between us two.
And I think
three, whatever.
I sent them a tweet which went unresponded to, which was, I don't really see what the problem is here. I don't think anybody's going to John for legitimate news. But you're saying, no, that's not true. I am legitimate news here in Tampa. And I kind of see your point now.
I'm going to say I don't think people are coming to me for legitimate news now, but it is legitimate news. I don't think anybody's actively searching my YouTube for the news, but they happen to see it and it's real. So.
Yeah, it works. John, yep. where can people find your Tampa News Force stuff?
TampaNewsForce.com.
TampaNewsForce.com now, damn,
Facebook. Oh, yeah, we've been developing this for a while, and big launch soon, but it's currently active, and you can go to TampaNewsForce.com.
Cool, I'll check it out. We're going to talk about doing a podcast, too, for HMB Radio.
Yeah, we're actually in talks of you. On the forefront of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll have to get together and talk about
that. This might be a little insider talking right now.
Inside baseball, for sure.
This has been a plant from the start.
Hey, before you go, just there's a speculation now and a conspiracy theory kind of rolling around that the Seminole Heights killer may have been the guy in New York.
I heard that, too. Yeah.
What do you think?
Hey, could make sense.
Wouldn't that be
maybe,
crazy?
Yeah, that was the first, you know, we actually went to the New York guy's old apartment in Tampa last night.
Oh, you did? No shit.
Oh, yeah, we interviewed other news vans.
Oh, no kidding. When's that video coming out? That'll probably be up by the time this airs, I'm sure.
It'll probably be up soon.
All right, check it out on TampaNewsForce.com.
Yeah,
John.
Exactly. So, yeah, once again, you know, try to doubt the legitimacy of our news. But we're right out there.
I really enjoy the fact that you're just attacking media, mainstream media. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
they deserve
it. I didn't turn into Alex Jones this quickly, but I'm there.
You're already there locally.
I mean, it's because that's what happened, you know? The mainstream media started attacking me out of nowhere.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's bizarre. I wonder how they even found it and what gave them the...
I think it's old dudes who are just a little bit bitter that I'm having a good time.
Yeah, that very well could be the case. All right, John. Thanks for calling, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Right. I'll see you later, man.
All right, there we go. Friggin' John Jacobs over at TampaNewsForce.com, his new project. Going to make the Times pay for their trespasses against him, I'm sure. But let's talk to our guest this week here on the Homemade Broadcast. We got Joe Davison. You've seen him on Stranger Things 2 as the Nerdy Tech. That's his character name. And he's a local Tampa filmmaker. Let's talk to him, shall we? We shall. Joe Davison is here,
Hi.
Local filmmaker, and local boy makes good, as you so elegantly put it lately, because you had a small but memorable role on Stranger Things 2.
Yes, it went by so fast on Friday when everyone watched it.
Yeah, and binged it all. I finished it in 2 days. Yeah. I was done.
I feel like there's something biblical happening with things like binging, because it seems very like, with everything that's going on. So what is that? One of the deadly sins, right?
Like sloth, where you just kind of lay around?
Yeah, but consumption, you know?
Right.
Gluttony.
It's one of those things, too. Yeah, I like the idea of being able to do it, but it also, it doesn't have that same feel of when you're wanting, you know, you're looking forward to a story, you could see the next part next week. It takes away that aspect of it.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it's funny because I try not to binge, but I do, man. I do. I've been watching The Office nonstop for weeks.
That's where I got paused on my.
Yeah.
That's all I watch, dude. I mean, it really, I go back to it. It's one of those, like, it's like a comfort. It's like a security blanket having that show.
Yeah, I don't even. Yeah, me too, man. Every time I get a break, I, like, watch The Office.
It's one of those things now where I can pretty much quote the entire series, so I just put it on in the background. I can do other things, but it's just having that noise there, you know.
And
it's still hilarious. It's still the best American sitcom I think in the past 20 years.
I probably have to agree with you on that one.
I can't think of anything. Well, Parks and Rec was good too.
Yeah, great, man.
But I don't have the same relationship with Parks and Rec that I do The Office.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I agree with that because I feel Parks and Rec is – like I feel like The Office is a relative and Parks and Rec is a second relative.
Yeah, it's like the stepchild kind of. You like them, you know. I think it was because it was just like the same concept but just different characters pretty much.
Yeah, it was – Ron, I think
Ron Swanson?
Ron Swanson saved that.
The cast.
Aziz Ansari's character and John Ralphio.
Yeah.
Those are the standout characters to me. And Chris Pratt was good.
Chris Pratt was my favorite.
Yeah, he was great, man.
He had that small role and it kind of just,
just
rolled
blossomed.
Into this main character thing. Yeah. I have the biggest crush on Aubrey Plaza, too.
I was just about to say her name, dude.
Oh,
my
God.
The same person?
I think so.
The same person.
Yeah, I feel like I'm looking in a mirror right now.
Yeah,
I'm not
that's
lie.
How I feel.
You played the, it was the Nerdy Tech was your character on Stranger Things. And you saw a weird, I guess let's talk about, I know you got a movie that's coming out now you brought me copies of, but let's just talk about, you know, the Stranger Things first. So how did this come about where you got the call that you were on this freaking smash hit show?
Well, here it started a long time ago, man, because I had Stranger Things had just hit Netflix, and I binged it in a day.
You and,
because I just
else.
Had a little baby. I have a daughter. She's 2.5 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had my baby. And it was a very, it all happened. It was like synergistic because it was very universal, I feel like. My daughter was born, and then everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
My local life changed because I pulled out of the community a little bit because I had a daughter. I had to raise my child. So I stopped. I refused to make a feature film under $1 million ever. I wasn't going to do it. I've done it 6 times. I don't want to do it again. I want to actually have a budget and have momentum and actually make a real film, which we can get into with Hank. And so I binged Stranger Things, and I was like, man, that show is the best thing I've ever seen, you know, and it was very nostalgic. And
it was so innovative.
My favorite character was Dustin because I was like, that's me. That's I was that nerd, you know, like I was Dustin.
Yeah.
They're all nerds, but I most relate to Dustin.
Right. Which was excellent. I don't know. What's the kid's name?
Gatton Mezzarazzo.
He was excellent in the second series, for sure.
Yeah, he's – yeah. So all the kids are amazing. So anyway, so I binged that show, and then my agent, Amy Howell at Talent Pool, she was like, give an audition for the show. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Let's go mess this up. You know? Let's go suck again. Yay! So, yeah, so I did the audition, and that was awesome, and it was cool, and then I got a call back and did another audition, and, you know, worried my ass off for a long time.
Because the second one, you know, like, I'm in the running at this
point. Yeah, the second one, yeah, you're like, okay, I have a really amazing shot at messing this up. That's my motto.
Right.
And, like, I'm going to be the best guy of the worst ones you have. So, yeah, so.
Do you remember where you were when you got the call that you got it?
I was. I had just come off of a three-day flu where I hadn't been out of the bathroom in a good 12 hours. Mm-hmm. I was vomiting.
That's the best.
Continuously. Yeah, yep. My wife was really taking care of me for three solid days. I couldn't even get up to deal with our baby. And my phone had died in the interim of that.
Right.
Like, and I didn't care because I was dying. Like, I was like,
I don't
want
to talk to anybody anyways. Yeah.
Both my mouth and my ass hurt. Nothing's stopping. So I was on this, you know, diet of water and broth, basically. And it was like, it was like 9 o'clock at night. And I was finally able to get up and I went to the table and I had been up earlier that day. I was really getting better, right? So I went up, charged my phone, sat down, went to eat some soup, and my phone just lit up, man. Like, it didn't stop, and it was because my agent had been trying to get a hold of me for 2 days to tell me because they needed an answer.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
This is one of those things where she just assumed and was just like, yeah, he's going to do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Anyway, so she told me, and it was like all of that and the flu was like a nice cleansing.
Yeah.
You know? And now I was like, oh, my God, this is insane. And, yeah, so I was ecstatic.
How long did you have to wait before you said anything to anybody? You couldn't just, like, go to
now,
Facebook.
Now, I'm still not even – I don't even think I can now.
Really?
I still don't think that's a thing. Now, they're pretty tight-lipped, man. You're not allowed to say anything. They've told me to be quiet a few times.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you doing this show. Is this the first – well, I know you did the TBO thing. Is this, like, the first piece of media you've done besides that?
Yeah, maybe.
That's pretty cool. I feel honored.
Yeah, yeah. I did Matt and Dave. You know Matt and Dave? They're, like, one of the comedians.
Yeah.
I did their show.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
So that was technically, I guess, the first or second piece. You're the third. Right.
Okay, that's still pretty good.
Third
place. I'll take
five.
That. Yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah, so I got the news, and my wife knew what had happened because she was in the living room, and I was in the bedroom at that point in bed again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a major crazy feeling. Man.
Where did they shoot? Is it Atlanta?
Yeah, up in Georgia.
Yeah. There's a big that seems like the jewel of the South as far as movie making goes.
Now
it is. And what is the Tampa scene like? I've had a few actors in here, and they seem disheartened by the scene here.
Well, Georgia offers great incentives. So I think it's like 30 to 35%. And what that means for a big production is I'm going to come in, I'm going to drop $3 million on a production, and I'm going to get 35% of that I've spent. So let's say I spend $3 million there. I'm going to get 35% of that back.
Right.
The budget could be $10 million, but I only spent $3 million in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting 35% of that $3 million back. So, you know, what is that, like
$350,000? I have no idea. Yeah. Don't ask me. Yeah, that sounds right, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's
900,000? Whatever. I don't do math.
I don't either. Yeah, I don't touch it. What's the deal with what's the resistance in Tampa here for
the filmmaking? It's nothing. Tampa film commissioner, like Tyler Martinovich or Tony Armour, the sunscreen, and the St. P. Film Commissioner. It's nothing they're doing. They're trying their hardest to get film here. It works sometimes for like 5 days, and then it's out.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a few things. There's been that Spring Breakers,
and Infiltrator.
Yes.
With Bryan Cranston. Yep. And
there's another one with I can't remember his name. He's a comic. I like him, and I can't remember his name now.
Well, they did one here too with Sunlight Jr., Matt Damon in it, and Naomi Watts.
Yeah.
Dolphin Tale was shot here.
Well, right. So I guess there is some stuff.
It's here a little bit, but the problem is the independent guys like myself, we don't benefit really anyways. You know, we got to raise our own capital. We got to create our own business. We have to create our own buzz. We have to hire locally. And, you know, generally you can't afford an actor out of L.A. is what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, that sounded bad. We got to hire locally. I hate everyone. No. we have to – what I mean is you can't hire a big actor. You don't have the money. So you got to try to expand as much as you can to get and use everyone you know that is, you know, right for the part.
Yeah.
Here, locally.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to rely on resources here too, which are very few and far between. And that's sad. I know of several studios that have closed down in the last year and a half or 2 years. You know, that's like four or five studios that have shut down.
Wow.
And it's because there's the only structure that's here is commercial and not filmmaking.
Yeah.
And the commercial industry here is hard to fight because there's a lot of ad agencies and film commercial people. Plus, the cable companies shoot their own commercials too, so you're fighting against them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard, man. It's hard to make a living here as a filmmaker, even in the commercial industry. And that's – I don't think it's anything to do with Tony or – Tyler doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just more the local government. It's just
yeah. The incentive is here for filmmakers, and it's low. It's 12% because I think a lot of the incentives are going towards stadiums. The sports industry has Florida in a chokehold. There's like 9 stadiums here or something.
Yeah.
And it's NFL teams. There's like two NFL teams here, right?
Miami 3.
Dolphins, Tampa Bay, Jacksonville Jaguars. Three.
Yeah.
3.
And then you got two baseball teams, hockey teams, and you got a soccer. Basketball team. Yeah, soccer. Now the Rowdies are pushing for MLS, too.
Yeah.
I think the good thing about the Rowdies, though, is that Bill Edwards said he'll pay for it himself, which I dig that. Because he got the money. You know, you're taking all this money from the taxpayers, and then we're paying you to go see these stupid teams that lose most of the time. So, it could be better spent, perhaps. I'm a big fan of pay for your own damn stadium.
Yeah, man, and that's where it is. And then you got Disney and Miami and Key West, and you have Orlando itself and even Tampa, too. It's all a tourist. Florida's touristy.
Yeah.
St. Augustine, Jacksonville. You have all these tourist hotspots, and all the money goes to that, too. It goes to sports, and it goes to tourism. There's not much left for the filmmaker here. They don't really care about it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like California where, you strive. That's your industry is filmmaking. You know, which I don't think California has a good incentive either. I'm not even sure what it is. I know that New Mexico is 33%, and Alaska, I think last I checked, was like 40%.
Mm-hmm. Actually, my stepdad was a film commissioner for Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
For a little while. And he had a hell of a time even there, too, because they got a bunch of old, cool buildings and great settings and stuff, but the people just didn't want to be inconvenienced by a film crew being there. And even, I got to tell you, I want movies to be shot here. I like that stuff.
Yeah.
But they did a commercial, a Toyota commercial, literally right on this block, and it shut down the whole dang street for like 6 hours, and I was so pissed.
Yeah.
Because parking is bad as it is here, as you know now.
Yeah.
And then, God, you got these freaking people just shooting this. And it looks like they're doing nothing is what it looks like, even though
that's what it always looks like. Yeah.
Yeah.
It always looks like there's nothing happening and there's like a million things happening at once.
So it was a little frustrating, but I'm like, no, this is a good thing. We need to have this here. In the end, it's good.
Yeah, we need it. And it's sad that it's not films, but it won't be for a long time.
Yeah.
Stay with commercials. You're going to shoot a movie, shoot somewhere else.
Right.
I honestly, like...
For sure, for sure. Joe Davison's here on the Homemade Broadcast this week. He played the Nerdy Tech on Stranger Things 2. Did you see any Halloween costumes of you?
No.
Of your character?
No? No, I'm not that.
I don't know.
I don't think I'm that high up yet.
I guarantee you there was a few. I should have looked it up on Instagram.
No way, man.
Did you search Instagram for Nerdy Tech?
No, I'm never going to. No. I'm never going to
do it right now?
No. Do it now, yeah.
I
would never do it.
I want to see.
I don't know. I don't know if people are going to even identify. Like, they're just going to be like, oh, that's a dude.
Yeah, but there's always a memorable character. So, like, Barb was.
I'm not Barb.
Yeah, but I think you might be. I think the people found you endearing.
You think so?
Absolutely. You don't think so?
I don't know. What do I know?
Let me see if I can tag.
Sorry. I barely do my lines. I have, like, three.
All right, maybe not. That's a bummer.
Yeah. Not yet. Maybe next year.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe. I doubt it, though.
Is there going to be at
Comic-Cons.
Yes, definitely.
Comic-Cons, there might be some Nerdy Techs.
I'm definitely going to go if I go.
I love the name. I'm endeared to it. I love it.
So you didn't have any Halloween costumes. Did you go to any parties and dress up as Nerdy Tech?
No. Well,
you can't go as yourself.
I did. I dressed up as Nerdy Tech's grandson.
Okay.
Nerdy Tech is in the 80s.
Right.
Right? And then now his grandson's
in.
Oh,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
So he's, yeah, I did. I mean, I took an Xbox controller and I attached it to a gold chain and I painted the controller gold and I had these gold glasses and he was like Nerdy Tech from the future.
Hip nerd, yeah.
Yeah. So he was like DJ Nerdy Tech.
I like that.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there an opportunity for you to be in the third reincarnation? Do you know?
I don't know.
Too early.
I don't know. You'd have to, the gods, that's up to the gods.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You know?
I mean, there is going to be a third one that kind of teased it. Well, you don't know because you haven't seen it yet.
I don't know anything, man.
Oh, my gosh. I'm thinking there's.
I don't even know anything, and I was there.
How many days were you on set for that?
A few.
But they called you back, right? I saw that you did your scene for the second or third
episode. I was very excited, man. I'm a very lovable kind of guy, so I kind of walked in and I hugged the Duffer Brothers, and I was like, I can't believe I'm on your show. I was like, I just watched it, you know, like, and it's amazing, you know. And you can't say that to someone who's creative, because then, especially at their level, because then it just sounds like you're just kissing their ass. And I was like, I'm serious, like, it's cool.
Yeah.
It was a cool show. Thanks
for having
me. Yeah,
you just say thank you.
And then I just turned around, walked away, and I was quiet, and I sat in the corner, you know, until I was needed.
So tell me about, you made this film, Hank, that's coming out. Tell me about
No,
Hank.
I haven't made it yet.
Oh, you haven't made
it
yet?
No, I haven't made Hank yet.
So what is the plan for Hank, I should
Hank
say?
Is being made, Hank is a horror film, comedy, which is where I want to be. I keep telling everybody, I want to be the Kevin Smith of horror films.
Yeah.
But he's kind of doing horror films now, so...
Yeah, he did the Human Centipede, was it?
No. Kevin Smith?
Yeah.
No, he did Walrus or whatever.
Walrus, okay.
Tooth?
With Jason
Tough.
Long in it.
Yeah, what was it called? Tusk.
Tusk, that's
Tusk.
Right.
Sorry, Kevin.
Yeah.
He's going to...
I thought it was the Human Centipede
never hear this,
he did.
But whatever. No, he didn't do that. He did Tusk. Kevin did all the View Askew movies.
Right. Oh, I'm a big Kevin Smith fan.
Yeah,
big
okay.
Clerks fan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of what I'd like to be... as far as a filmmaker, is like the Kevin Smith horror films. I want to do horror comedies and kind of just stick in that genre.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, I'll do whatever comes my way. I'm not
sure.
Going to say, no, is that not a comedy? Therefore, not on set, I be not. Or whatever.
Whatever I want to say.
Yeah, whatever I want to say at that point. Let's sip my coffee.
So what's the plan for Hank, then?
Right now we're in development with it. Jeffrey Reddick has signed on board. Jeffrey Reddick is the creator of Final Destination franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So he came on board as our executive producer. And right now we are slated to shoot in March. So it's going to be dope. We're trying to get some really big names in this one.
If you need a Nerdy Tech, call your boy Bill.
I will.
I'm there for sure.
I will.
How do you get into acting? If somebody wanted to do it, how do you go about it?
Man... You work your ass off, but first you get some acting under you. You take some local theater classes or acting classes, get into something. Try to do short films or get into short films or make your own film. But you need education on it. You need to study it. And, you know, I studied improv for from 1995 to like 2002.
Wow.
And that was included performing, you know, and opening for people like Dave Chappelle and Bruce Campbell and shit.
No kidding.
Yeah, man. And like,
you were doing like stand up?
Yeah, with our improv. I had an improv troupe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. In fact, I started one of the biggest or the longest running improv troupes here in town, the Charmin Hooligans.
No kidding.
And back in like 90, let's see, 99 maybe. 99? No, 98, 99.
Yeah.
I started a troupe called Beat the Dead Horse. First improv troupe in Tampa, from what we understood. And we used to play at the Brass Mug.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that every, like, Wednesday night, man. Play the Brass Mug. It's a dive bar in Tampa. It's
yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. Metal bands play there.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And we were the only comedy troupe ever to play there, right? So we'd play there, and then we got a gig at this place called Mother's Milk in Clearwater.
Yeah, that used to be a coffee shop, right?
Yeah.
I remember that.
And I think at this point we had changed our name to the Charming Hooligans. We had gotten into a big fight, and people left, and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, as that shit
happens.
Yeah, like a band.
Right?
You start with eight, there's four left, and now you get in a fight. Anyway,
yeah, some more new ones, yeah.
Bob has five apples. And so we started a new troupe called the Charming Hooligans, and it was like three of us from the original troupe, and then some new people joined us. And then we did the Charming Hooligans for a long time. And then I went up to Second City in Chicago for a while, and then I came back, and I started a new troupe called the Caffeine Kids. And that troupe was probably the best one, I feel, that was where I wanted it,
mm-hmm.
right? So we became the improv in Ybor City, that improv, we became the house improv troupe. So we performed every Wednesday for them. Every Wednesday we performed to a full house.
Mm-hmm.
And we were getting a nice standing audience, man. It was really cool. And then we were going to the one in Orlando, and then inner turmoil and relationships broke the troupe into asunder.
Yeah.
And I went straight into just filmmaking, and then
How did you learn filmmaking? Is this one of those things you learned by doing?
Yeah, I just did it, man. We were shooting on VHS and editing. I had a show. My first, in 1995, I moved to Newport Richey. I was 19. From Ocala.
Okay.
I was 19 or 18. And I met this kid who had a TV show on public access called The Sidewalk Cracks.
Uh-huh.
His name was Brian Stevenson. And I joined this sketch troupe that was on public access on Monday nights at 10 o'clock at night. And we would work during the week. We'd write the sketches, and on the weekends we'd shoot them, edit them, and get them to the TCI in Newport Richey by, you know, 8 o'clock or whatever, so they could play at 10 o'clock. That was my first experience in acting or in filmmaking or any of that stuff. And I did that for like 4 years. That show. And
yeah.
It became a really ridiculous phenomenon. I don't know how many people remember the Sidewalk Cracks, but for a while there, we weren't able to go into shopping centers or anything in Newport Richey because people would come right up to us and start quoting our shit. If YouTube was around, we would have been probably the first YouTube sensation.
Yeah.
But since it was only public access, man, it only went so far.
Do you have any of the old tapes or anything laying around?
Jason Kranick, who's one of the founding members, nope, that's the Charming Hooligans. I don't. I try to remember where I'm at. No, I don't have anything from the Sidewalk Cracks.
Bummer.
Dude, it's so old. It's so old, man. 95.
A great thing about YouTube. My buddy John does, he just called into the show, actually, not too long ago. But he does YouTube stuff now. He does skits. He's got a green screen.
Yeah.
You should check it out. It's pretty funny. I don't know if it's because they're my buds that I think it's funny, but I think it's funny. I think it would
nice.
Draw an actual crowd, you know what I mean? I think I have a good nose or ear or whatever for that type of stuff, for comedy. I can't fake laugh.
Right.
So if I laugh, then it's real. You know what I'm saying?
That's good to know.
Yeah. I won't lie to you.
I'll be on my toes.
Absolutely. No, please do. Yeah.
I am.
So I want to know, like, what's...
Don't hurt me.
Do you have anything that you're working on now that you're promoting now?
Yeah, well, Hank specifically, but what I brought you in was a movie called As Night Falls,
uh-huh.
Which was one of my first movies I ever did. And, It's fun, man. It's a fun little horror comedy, and it just played at the Tampa Theater on Thursday for their Hollow Scream stuff.
Yeah,
you know, for their terror.
Right.
So that was fun, man. It was fun to relive that movie because we shot it in 2010, and we're kind of revamping it a little bit, you know, like repushing it out and stuff. And yeah, it was fun, man. So I brought you that.
Sweet. You know what? I don't even have a DVD player. I got to be honest with you.
Okay.
My computer doesn't have a DVD drive.
Well, how do you watch shows?
Friggin' Netflix and an Amazon Fire Stick.
Okay.
That's cool.
Is
it on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on, Nightfalls is on Amazon.
Okay, I got Amazon.
Yeah, it's on Amazon.
All right.
And it's on,
these were all shot in Florida?
Roku? Whatever that is. Yep. It's on that, along with another movie I did called Frostbite. Got really
it'll
close.
Get you. So. Oh, yeah. Nice.
Frostbite, which was one I shot in Alaska, to answer your question.
Uh-huh.
No, not all of them are shot here. Hunter Tears, which was like this awesome clown movie we did. And then Experiment 7 was Night Falls and Mr. Engagement, which is a romantic comedy I directed.
Yeah.
They were all shot here. I shot Frostbite up in Alaska.
Gotcha. So. All right. We gotta go. All right.
All right. Let's do it.
So we're gonna go do Johnny B's show. Give your social media where people can find you.
Yo, it's Joey Giggle Pants. That's JoeyGiggle Pants.
Spelled phonetically.
Yeah. At wherever. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's all Joey Giggle Pants.
And you got Red Gears Studios as well. .com.
Yeah. RedGearsStudios.com is our production company's website, you know, because I make films and occasional commercials.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for coming in, dude. I appreciate
it. Yeah, man.
It.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there we go. Joe Davison, Stranger Things 2, The Nerdy Tech. Thank you for listening to the Homemade Broadcast this week. Make sure you check out hmbradio.com to keep up to date with future shows. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned, because we got Frank Rivera's jazz show coming to you live from Dunedin, Florida, and Indie Circuit coming up after that. If you're listening on podcast, hey, thanks a lot. Tell a friend, would you? I'd certainly appreciate it. My name is Will Koontz. This is the Homemade Broadcast. HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Talk to you some other time, like next week, perhaps. Okay, bye-bye then.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.